Today we're learning Nidah Nun Vav. Just going to remind everybody that the Siyum is almost upon us, 2.5 weeks. So if you haven't signed up for your Siyum, for the Women's Siyum HaShas, sign up now. Today's the day.
Whether you're a woman or a man, anybody who supports
yes.
this.
Men, women, all invited. Whether you've learned Gemara or not learned Gemara, everybody's invited. Okay, starting two lines from the bottom of Nun Hay Amud. Meme Raglav Minayin. So how do we know that the urine, this is from a quote from the Braita we quoted at the end of yesterday's daf about the nine liquids that come out of a zav, and one of them was Meme Raglav, which we said is Tameh, his urine. How do we know it's Tameh? Titania, as it says in the Braita, Zovo Tameh. Remember that pasuk? That was what we darshan, Zovo Tameh. So they learn Vizot. Okay, so now you have to look at the pasukim. We're in Vayikra Tedvav. Pasuk bet, Dabru al b'nei Yisrael v'amar talehem, ish ish ki yezav mipsaho, zovo tamehu, what comes out of him is tameh. And the next words are, v'zot torat hazav, v'zot tiye tumato, b'zovo rar b'saro, et zovo o'echtim b'saro, mizovo tumato hi. So the next word right after that is v'zot. So what do they learn from v'zot? That means, oh, we're going to include something additional. L'rabo, what are we going to include? Meimei raglav l'tuma, that his urine will also become tameh. Then they say, v'lo dinhu, but isn't it quite obvious? You don't even need a drasha for this. Uma ro kaba mimakom tahara tameh, if his saliva, which we already learned from ki yaro kazav, is going to be tameh, and it comes from a tahor place from his mouth, meimei raglav haba'im mimakom tameh, the urine comes out from the same place that the zov discharge comes out from. So if the urine comes out from a makom tameh and the saliva which comes from a makom tahor is tameh, wouldn't you think it's obvious that the urine would be tameh? Eino din shiu tameim. So what do they say? No, that's not a good proof because we have something else that comes out from the same place where the zav discharge comes out, and it's actually not tameh. What is that? If you remember, we learned dam hayotze mipi ha'ama yochiach. Right? If he bleeds from there, that's not going to be tameh. Remember, we said by the female, anything that's like a zov discharge where it's clear is going to be tahor, but in a man it's tameh, and the reverse is true. By a woman it's the blood, and by a man, right? They even put it into colors, red and clear. So dama yotze mipi ama yochiach shabami makom tameh, it comes from a place that's tameh v'tahor. Therefore afata al titma al zeh. So therefore, don't be surprised by this. Shafapi shabami makom tuma yeh tahor. Maybe the urine will also be tahor. Talmud lomar. That's why you need the drasha, which we started with. Zovo tameh v'zot. Right, the zovo tameh at the end of the first pasuk, and then leading into v'zot l'rabot meimei raglayim l'tuma. Now we're going to say, okay, so dama yotze mipi ama minalan de tahor. We kind of brought it as an assumption. How do you know that it's true? That where do we learn it from, really? That the dam, the blood that comes out, is going to be tahor if he bleeds from there. Ditanya. Yachol yehe dama yotze mipi umipi ama tmeim. Talmud lomar, you might have thought the dam that comes out of the man's body would be tmeim. Talmud lomar, zovo tamehu. Now notice the word zovo tamehu. Who seems to say just this? Who tameh ve'ein dama yotze mipi v'mipi ama tameh. So therefore, blood that comes out of his mouth or comes out of his penis is not going to be tameh. Ela tahor. So now the obvious question is, v'ipuchana, right? This is classic. We have one word, v'zot, which comes to include. We have who, which comes to exclude. Why are we including the urine and excluding the blood? So why don't we say the opposite? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Dumia d'rok. So now we're going to say, we already know his rok from the pasuk chiyarok, if he spits. So now that we know already saliva, we're going to say it's similar to saliva, and we've seen this before. Ma rok shemit ager v'yotze, it collects first in your body, and then it all comes out at once. Ha'kol shemit ager v'yotze, so it has to be something that collects first, and then comes out. So yatzadam she'em etagel v'yotze. Blood doesn't come out in that manner. Blood just keeps continually dripping out. It doesn't, or pouring out, but it doesn't collect in your body first all the blood and then come out in one go. Baharei, but now we're going to question this. Halav she'bisha she'em etagel v'yotze. So same thing, right? A woman's, the breast milk, collects in her body and then comes out all at once. V'amarmar, halav she'bisha metamei tumat mashkin. Which teaches you what? This is what we learned yesterday, that the chalav has regular tumat mashkin, but it's not Tameh, like a Mayan that comes out of a person who's a Zava or Zava, in this case it would obviously be a Zava or an Ida. So Tumat Mashkin In, Ava Lo Tumah Chamura, right? It doesn't become, what's the big difference? It doesn't become an Ava Tumah to be Matameh people and Kelim and vessels. So therefore, what do we see? This whole concept that it's Mitagel V'yotze, and that's what makes something Tameh, well, it doesn't seem to be true because of the breast milk. Elam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. So now we're gonna adjust what he said, and he says Dumia Dirok. Okay, now we're gonna say it's similar to rok in what way? To saliva. Ma rok mitagel v'yotze v'chozer v'nivla. We're gonna add another thing. Number one, it collects inside and then comes out. But if it doesn't come out, it's chozer v'nivla. It gets reabsorbed. So what would that be? Saliva and urine, right? If you don't let it out, it kind of goes back into your body. Right. Okay. So I see the face. Okay. Right. So exactly, if this is exactly medically accurate, is a good question. But saliva, for sure, you could say, right? What would happen? You'll just swallow it again. So I think this is the way I struggle to understand it, but I think the way I view it is like this. So saliva is a very good example, because what will happen? You'll just swallow it again, and it'll go back into your body. And I guess urine also, it kind of gets ready to come out of the bladder, you know, stays back, goes back into the bladder. That's their assumption here. And again, medically, I'm not really sure that that's the case. But yetsa dam she'eno, where did I read? Af kol mitagel v'yotze, right? V'chozer v'nivla. So yetsa dam, so dam is out, we already know that. She'eno mitagel v'yotze, because it doesn't collect. Yetsa chalav she'v'isha, she'af al pisha mitagel v'yotze, eino chozer v'nivla. Now, again, I assume what they mean here is it'll stay in her breast, but it doesn't go back into her body. Like the way the saliva goes back down your throat, you'll swallow it and go back into your body. So the breast milk kind of stays there. Right, so that's their assumption. Which the truth is, it makes sense, right? If your breasts are full and you're right, sometimes you need to express because there's too much extra there. It doesn't like get back and absorb back in. It just stays there till it comes out next time. So again, medically, I'm not sure it's 100%, but you can understand where they're coming from. So that's how we get to the urine, yes, but these other items, no. V'nelach mizovo. So now they say, why don't we learn it from zovo? Why are we learning it out from the rok? Why don't we learn it from the discharge itself? Mazovo she'ein mitagel v'yotzei. Notice the zov, the discharge, isn't the type of thing where it collects and then comes out. So why don't we say af kol? So why wouldn't we then say maybe all these things should be included? Amarava mizovo lekalamelach she'ein gorim tumalachirim. You can't learn from the discharge because the discharge causes the person to become tameh when it comes out of his body. That's a whole different category. These are items that are going to, only if they come out, are they going to then make something tameh if they come in contact with it. But they're not, or someone tameh, right? They do have avatuma status, but they don't make the zav himself. If a person urinates, that doesn't make him tameh. So because of that, right, or if a person, right, really we should take the prime example of a person spits, that doesn't make the person who spit tameh. So therefore, right, thank God. So therefore, we're not going to learn from the zov, we're going to learn dafka from the saliva, which is in that way. Okay, back to the Mishnah, hasheretz. So if you remember, we had a list of items that are metameh, lach, and not yavesh. If they're dried out, they're not metameh. Here we're going to have a problem, because I'm a Rish Lakish. Sheretz sheyavesh v'shildo kayemet. If a sheretz dries out, but his skeleton is intact. Tameh, he's tameh. So now, I'm going to say it, ha'anantanam, but didn't we say, mitamim lachim ve'emitamim yaveshim? So if it's dried out, who cares if the skeleton's intact? It should be okay. Right? Shouldn't be tameh, because it's dry. Amar bizera lo kasha, habekulan, habemitzatan. The case where shildo kayemet, it's entirely intact, meaning it's whole. If it's whole, even if it's yavesh. If it's parts of the sheretz, like it broke into different pieces, it's not whole, then we're going to say only lach. Titanya, and here's a proof from a braita. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Barabbi Bisna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Bahem, okay, we have to read the psukim now. Elu hatzme'im lachem, we're in Vayikra Yud Aleph. We're going to read first Lamed Aleph, then Lamed Bet. Lamed Aleph reads, these are the tzme'im lachem b'chol ha-sheretz. Okay, these are the things that are tamei and shretzim. Kol hanogea bahem, anyone who touches them, notice the word bahem, we're going to darshan it. Bimotam, when they die, we're going to darshan that later, so pay attention. Yitma ad erev, they'll be tameh that day. Then the next pasuk says, V'chol asher yipol alav mehem, and anyone who falls upon him from them, bimotam yitma. Okay, now notice one pasuk says bahem, one says mehem. Bahem is usually the whole thing. Mehem is from it. So here comes the drasha. Bahem yachol b'kulan. You'd assume it meant if it's whole. Talmud lomar, mehem. Mehem comes to teach you even if they're not whole. E mehem. So if you have mehem, yachol b'miktatan. You might think only, right, part of it. Talmud lomar, bahem. So now we have, on the one hand, whole, and on the other hand, part. Haketzad, how does this work together? Kam belach, kam biyabesh. So bahem, when it's whole, even when it's dry. Mehem, part of it, only when it's wet. Amar Rav, hane zvuge de mechoza. Okay, Rashi says these are types of turtles. I saw also they could be translated as lizards. Okay, some sort of creature.
Toads, yeah.
Toads, okay. Toads or lizards. Hane zvuge de mechoza, that were found in mechoza. Kishildan kayemet tmeim. If their shelet is intact, then they're tmeim, even though they're presumably dried out. So there's a proof, also, or I don't know, proof, but Rav is basically paskening like Rish Lakish. Okay, now we're going to have another halacha by Rish Lakish, very similar, and we're going to do the same kind of thing with it that we just did with the previous statement of Rish Lakish. Remember, the first statement was a sheret that dries out and his shelet is intact, the whole body's there, is going to be tmeim. So now we have another statement of Rish Lakish. V'amar Rish Lakish, sheret shenisraf v'shildo kayemet tamei. If it's burnt and its body is intact, it's tamei. So meitivei, again, we're going to bring a question. Here, not our Mishnah, because our Mishnah wasn't talking about burnt. Our Mishnah was talking about dry. You could say if it's burnt, it's dry. But anyway, right, why is this tamei if it's burnt? Here's a better knockout source. Nimsa sheret saruf al gabei azeitim. V'chem matlita meruha tehorim. You come along and you see a sheretz that's burnt sitting on top of olives, or you see a cloth that's totally worn out, which is no longer considered a cloth, on top of these olives. Now the question is, when it went on top of the olives in the first place, remember these items can be metame olives. So if, right, they can be metame any food. So if you find this sheretz on top of zeitim, or this bad that's no longer really a piece of cloth anymore, the question is, when they got on the olives in the first place,
were they, soaking
were they intact? Mm-hmm. Were they not burned? Were they in good shape?
And therefore, so, both making it tamei?
Exactly. So what do we say? They're tehorim. We assume these olives are tahor. Why? Shekola tmeot kishat mitziatam. We learned this already. If you find something on an item, that's tamei, right? We go by what it is right now. And this item wouldn't be tamei in its current status. So what do you see here? If it's saruf, it's not metame. So that's exactly, if that goes against what Rish Lakish said, that it's nisrach v'shildo kayemet tame. So the same answer is going to be given. Am Rabbi Zera lo kashya ha b'kulan ha b'miktatan. If only part of it is intact, then we're going to say that's the braita, that it's not tame. But in the case of Rish Lakish, it was in its entirety. And again, we're going to bring this braita, but the braita is going to have a bit of a different ending, because before it was all about yavesh and laf, and now it's going to be saruf and eno saruf. So, d'tanya, amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Bisna, mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, bahem yachob kulan, talmud lomar mehem, imehem yachob miktatan, talmud lomar bahem, right? If you have bahem, you might have thought the whole thing. Therefore, you have mehem. If you have mehem, you might have thought only if it's part. Therefore, you have bahem. Haketzad, how does this work? Instead of saying now, kam b'yavesh, kam b'lach, right? This says, kam b'saruf, kam b'sheino saruf. One is talking about burnt, and one is talking about not burnt. Okay. Mitam'in lachim. And now we're going to talk about the next category, which is all the things that come out of the zav, right? The rok, or really it's all these things. The rok, the sheretz, the nevela, the shechatzera, or mitam'in lachim. Zav, so now we're going to have the source for all these things, that they're mitam'e lach. Zav dechtiv rar besaro, okay, which comes from rear, which is, right, it's liquidy. How they translate rar?
His flesh runs with his discharge.
Okay, it runs with his discharge. So it's rar, it sounds like it's coming out, it's liquidy. Ki choveneo, right, his phlegm and his mucus, viroko and his saliva, dechtiv ki yarok hazav, ke'en rok. It has to be like saliva. Saliva is liquidy. So moist. Therefore, all the others are liquidy. Right, moist. Sheretz bimotam amar Rachmana. Notice I said we're going to darshan that word. It said bimotam, if you touch them in their death. Now when they're dying, they're still moist. And therefore, ke'ein mita, it has to be like the time of death. Shichvat zera, so we always say, ha-ra'uya la-hazriya, it has to be ra'oy to actually be active. Be active.
Fertilize.
So, right, to fertilize. So what do you see? La-hazriya must be when it's in its moist form and not when it's dried out and then it can't fertilize. Nivela dechtiv ki yamut. Just like in the Sheretz Pasuk, also by Nevela, it says ki yamut, when it dies. Sounds like, again, the moment of death is what's important. Ke'ein mita. Im yecholin lahashchot. Now we get back to this. If it's dry, but if you soaked it in water for 24 hours, we said tepid water for 24 hours, then what will we say? If it goes back to its original state, then we can say it's tameh at that point. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, our favorite guy, he always asks these niniki kind of questions. So here's a good question. Right, let's say you leave something for water for 24 hours. So the assumption is, depending on the temperature in the room, right, the water temperature might change. It won't necessarily stay tepid for 24 hours. So he asked, "Tchilatova sofo b'poshrin, does it have to be lukewarm the entire time? O dilma tchilato apa pishein sofo? Or does it just mean from the beginning it has to be tepid, but if it changes temperature over time, it doesn't matter?" So, Tashma, let's learn it from here. We're going to find out that Rabbi Yirmiyah's question not only bothered Rabbi Yirmiyah, but apparently even before him in the time of the Tanaim, they also struggled with this. And we're going to see this is actually a machloket Tanaim. Kama hi shriyatan b'poshrin? How long does it have to be in poshrin? Yehuda ben Nekusa omer, me'eit le'eit, 24 hours. Tchilato afa pishein sofo. But the water has to be tepid from the beginning, but if it's not at the end, it doesn't matter. Rashbag omer, tzrichin shiu poshrin me'eit le'eit. Rashbag actually says, has to be tepid the entire time, so I guess you have to check your water all the time and fix the temperature. Rabbi Yossi, we're now getting to the last line of the Mishnah. You remember, we started off the Mishnah with Dam Anida and Basara Meit or Metameh, both moist and dried out. Rabbi Yossi came at the end and said, no, Basara Meit is only Metameh, moist and not dry. It's like the other category. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel now comes and narrows the focus of Rabbi Yossi's statement. Tahur mi Letameh b'kazayit, aval Metameh tumat rakav. He says, yes, it's Tahur, meaning it won't be Metameh if you have a kazayit of dried out dead, you know, dried out flesh of a dead body. However, if you have, remember what rakav is? It's the rotten flesh of a person. After it rots, and then it becomes basically dried out and almost like dust-like, you know, like powdery. At that point, we're going to say, if you remember, the rakav is milo tarvad rakav, a ladleful. Now, that's a lot more than a kazayit. If you have a ladleful of rotten flesh from a dead body, it's going to be metame. Now that's clearly dried out. So therefore, when Rabbi Yossi said basar hamed is not metame if it's dry, what he means is in the shear of a kazayit. But if it becomes a ladle full of it, then it's already going to be metame. So he's really talking about a certain amount, right? In between that amount and that amount, in between a kazayit and a ladle full, it won't be metame. But any more than that, it will be metame. Tanya Nami Hachi, and here's a brayta to support the fact that Shmuel was right about the fact that this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion, because in this brayta it says it explicitly. Rabbi Yossi omer, basar hamet sheyavesh ve'en yachol lishrot ve'lachzor kamot shaya, if it's dried and it can't go back to its original state after soaking it, tahor mi letameh, it will be pure, bekizayit, aval tameh tumat rakav, but it will have this tumat rakav, meaning if you have a ladle full of it. Okay, new Mishnah. Hasheretz shenimtza b'mavoy. You find a sheretz in an alley. Okay? You find a sheretz there. The question is, if there's taharot in that alley, we've come across this source before. We've seen the source. If there's taharot in the alley, can you assume that the sheretz came in contact with them and they're tameh? So, and if so, how far back do we go? Mitameh l'mafreya, ad shiomar badakti et ha'mavoy hazeh v'lo haya bo sheretz. The first test is until you go back. This is like the woman with her bedika that we learned at the beginning of the Masechet. Till the last time she checked. So till the last time you checked the mavoy and said, oh yeah, I checked this mavoy. There were no shratzim here. So if you say it's now Wednesday and you say, well, I checked the mavoy on Sunday. I know there were no shratzim. Then we go back and anything that was in that alleyway from Sunday is going to be tameh. Oh, ad shat kimud.
If you checked.
Well, from the time you checked on Sunday. From whatever you checked on Sunday, it's going to be tameh. V'lo aya bo sheretz, ad shat kibud. Or the last time you swept it. Okay, we're going to talk about this later, what exactly that means. But the assumption is, we mean, if you swept it, the assumption is you must have swept out the sheretz. And therefore, if you swept it, let's say you checked it on Sunday, but you swept it on Monday without, well, then we're going to see what exactly it means. So hold off on that one. I don't want to go any farther because it's already interpretation. V'chein ketem, and the same thing is true for a ketem shenimtza b'chaluk, that's found on clothing. Either until you say, I checked and I know I didn't have a ketem yesterday, you know, but I didn't check since then. So this is always our problem with ketem. We've talked about it. That we don't know. What?
This was a whole Mishnah just
today. Yeah, exactly. We already learned this, right? It's a little strange why they're repeating it. Ad shat hakibus, or until the last time you laundered it. Now, again, I said this, I think, the other day, but the assumption is if I laundered it and left it in my closet, we wouldn't have to go back to when I laundered it. What they mean is if you didn't necessarily check it since it's been laundered and you've worn it, then we go back to when you put it on. Let's say you're wearing the same clothes for 3 days, right? It seems that they did that kind of thing. If you're wearing the same clothes for 3 days, then the assumption is we go back to the last time it was washed, which would have been, you know, and you put it on your body. Metame ben lach ben yavesh. Okay, and now this ketem or this sheretz, although we'll see, maybe it's not talking about either one, both of them. And it's, right now, let's just assume the sheretz and the ketem are going to be metame, whether they're lach or whether they're yavesh. Because what? Because now it's yavesh, but the assumption is it must have been moist before, right? If we're going back to some previous time in history.
It doesn't that counter the find, take it the way you find it that we just saw in the middle?
Yes, but that's when we want to know, is it mitame, the item it's on right now? This is, was it mitame, did it come in contact with this earlier? Because it was sitting there, we know that there could have likely been a situation. Okay. This is where we say also with ketem, we're more machmir, because we assume the blood came out some earlier point. Okay, so now Rabbi Shimon Omer Hayavesh Metame LeMafreya Pahalach. Here's a really interesting halacha. Eino Metame Ela Ad Sha'a Sheyehe Yachol Lachzor Liyot Lach. If we have this dead sheretz and we assume a sheretz dries out in 2 days, let's say, so the assumption is, right, we go back because it dried. Well, no, sorry. Let's put it this way: if it's dried out. If it takes 2 days to dry out, and it's dried out now, so we can assume it could have dried out any, right? It could have been moist. We don't know exactly when it was moist, and therefore we're going to go back and just be metame everything. We don't know when it dried out. But if it's moist, then we know it didn't die
longer than two days,
let's say. So therefore, we're only going to go back 2 days. We're not going to say three or four because it's still moist, so it's clearly, remember, the sheretz is only metame once it's dead. So the assumption is it must have died recently and not so long ago. Okay, again, I don't know who decides, you know, what they thought medically in terms of how long it takes for a sheretz to dry out. Okay, same thing with the blood. If the blood is, well, now the blood we're going to have to see. It's not exactly the same thing with the blood because the blood has different criteria. First of all, blood is metame anyway, yavesh. And anyway, we'll get back to that later. Ibai Elihu. So now they ask the following question. We talked about sweeping, right? So if you swept the mavoi, we can assume you got the sheretz out. So now the question is, how does this assumption work? Do we say, ad shat kibud chezkato baduk, o dilma chezkato mitkabed? Is the chazaka that if you swept, you clearly were checking also for shretzim when you swept? This is like, how good a cleaner are you? Okay? When you cleaned, did you have in mind also shretzim? And therefore, did you check while you swept? Is the assumption, well, if you checked on Sunday and then you swept on Monday, well, when you swept, you obviously also checked for creatures. Or do we just say we can assume that it was well swept, but not necessarily that you checked for shvatzim? Now, what's the nafkamina, you might say? My nafkamina. So we're going to give two nafkaminas. One is, da'amar kabid v'lo badik. If you said, I swept, but I didn't actually check for creatures. If we say, we assume that if you swept, you must have checked. Halo badak. This guy clearly didn't check, which means if this person didn't check while they were sweeping, well, then that's not going to be good. Because if you say the average cleaner checks, then this guy we know is not the average guy because he already said, I didn't check. And therefore, it won't. You'll have to go further back. But iamart cheskato mitkabed. But if you say the chazaka is that it was swept, and if it's swept, that's good enough, then hamitkabed, then this was swept, and it's fine. Inami, second option is ishtekach beguma. Let's say we found a sheretz in a little hole. There was a little indentation in the ground, and the sheretz was in there. So iamart cheskato baduk. If we say we assume that whoever swept checked, mandabadik beguma nami badik. Whoever clearly checked in all the crevices and the little indentations there. But iamart cheskato mitkabed guma lo mitkabda. When you sweep and there's a hole in the ground, nobody sweeps there. You just sweep the flat part of the ground. In which case, if you weren't checking, then you're going to have a problem in this case, and you're going to end up saying the sheretz must have been there earlier because you clearly just swept, but you weren't checking. Same thing we're going to ask with the ketem. V'chein haketem, that's a quote from the Mishnah. Ibayelehu. So now they ask the following question. Ad shad kibuz cheskato baduk, o dilma cheskato mitkabes. Do we say, when we go back to the time you washed it, is it because we assume when you wash your clothing you're checking for all the stains, and if there was a stain you would have gotten it out, or you would have noticed it was there and it stayed? Or do we say, no, the average woman who does her laundry, or man, right, I say woman because in those days the women were the ones laundering, do we say, chezkato mitkabes, that we assume it was washed, and therefore, right, just even though nobody checked it specifically, we can assume it didn't have a stain there. Lemay nafkamina. What's the nafkamina here? What's going to be the difference in the halacha? Da'amar ki beis v'lo badak. Because if someone says, I washed it, but I didn't check. So, i'amar t'chizkato baduk halo badak. If they say, we assume that somebody, right, if you're washing, you clearly check. This person said, I clearly didn't check. And therefore, it's not going to work. Right, again, what does it mean? We're not going to know. Right, we're going to have to go back. Right, according to this, what we have to do? We'll assume the stain could have been there from before. In this case, what will we assume? The stain, if you didn't check. So we'd have to go back even farther, okay? The iamar cheskato baduk, but if you say it's clear that iamar cheskato mitkabes, but if you say that we can assume it was washed, and that when it's washed, it generally is clean. Ha mitkabes. This was clean. So therefore, we can go by the assumption. If it was clean, they must have gotten the stain out. Inami, a second option. De'ishtakha besitra. This is the comparable example to the guma. Let's say there's a stain inside a fold. Iamart cheskato baduk mandabadak besitra nami badak. If you say they clearly check, well, then they must have checked in this fold also, right? And that while you're laundering, you're clearly checking, in which case you're going to check in the fold, and therefore we can assume it was a new stain. But iamart cheskato mitkabes, bisitra lo mitkabes, right? But if you say we can assume it was washed, and if it's washed, it must have gotten the stain out, but here we're not, people don't generally wash things that are inside a fold, nobody really sees it, in which case, again, we'll have to go all the way back. So, the Gemara asks, Mai, so what's the answer? So, Tashma, let's learn from the following source, Ditanya. As it says in a Braita, Amar Rabbi Meir, Mipnema amru hasheret shenimtza b'mavoy metamei l'mafreya, ad shiomar badakti ani et ha-mavoy hazeh v'lo haya bo sheret, o ad shad kibud. So now Rabbi Meir says, what's the reason why for this halacha of a sheret that's found in the mavoy that we go back to till the person says, I either checked the mavoy or I swept it? There's an assumption that Yisraelim, who are conscious of these laws of Tum and Tara, when they sweep, they clearly check for bugs, for creatures. But if they didn't check, but if someone tells you, oh, I swept, but I didn't check, well, then we're going to have to go and be metame all the shratzim from even before that. So same thing, why do we say this halacha by the clothing? So here you have it explicitly in Tanakama's opinion that it's because we assume people are checking. Okay, you know, because it makes sense. Because people are conscious of these halachot, therefore, when they sweep their alleyways, or when they wash their clothing, they clearly check for tamim. It's part of the procedure, Okay, and therefore, again, it's just assumed. This is all chazaka. We don't know, but we assume they do that. And then, in the case where somebody tells us they didn't, then we can't go by chazaka because they're telling us that they didn't do it. And then we'd have to be metame even further back. The Braita continues with some other opinions. Now they say, so there's other ways that we can check, okay? Besides assuming we go back, right, and let's say it was there, we can also determine how old the stain is. There's different ways we can determine. Rabbi Achamar, tachzor utechapsenu. He says, let's do this test. This is a good test. So again, you find the stain. Nobody checked at the time of washing. So the question is, how do I know if it's a new stain or an old stain? So he says, wash it again. Im nidchamarito, if it gets lighter, biyadua shel achar kibus. You know it's a new stain. Because if it was an old stain, it wouldn't change in color. It would be stained. Now, I don't know if it's 100% truth. Sometimes when you wash things more, you could actually get out an old stain, but often it's hard to. Vim lav, and if not, biyadua shel lifnei akibus. But if it doesn't get any lighter, then you can assume, again, you don't know for sure, but you can assume that it was possibly an old stain and you'd have to go all the way back, particularly because they didn't check. Rebbe Omer, he has another test. Eino dome ketem shel achar kibus leketem shel lifnei akibus. There's a difference. You can easily tell the difference between a new stain and an old stain. Now, I say easily and I kind of laugh because there's a big debate about which is which here. This is a classic case of the Gemara. Shezem makdir vezem maglid. Okay, one is makdir and one is maglid. First of all, it's not 100% clear what makdir and maglid is. It's not 100% clear which is which. Okay, and there's different opinions. There's even different opinions about how to understand Rashi. Okay, Rashi says one thing, but some people actually say they read in Rashi otherwise. Rashi says Magdir is it gets absorbed in the baguette, and then it says Ketem shelifnei kibus maglid ugildo aveh. The dafke, if it happened, it's an old stain, it gets thicker, like it develops this coating. Now dafke, a lot of people say no, it's the reverse. It would be the opposite because right, an old stain is much more absorbed into the baguette. A new stain is something that's thicker and kind of has like a bit of a crust on it because it's a new stain. So, again, there's a lot of different opinions, even different opinions about what exactly makdir or maglid is. Does it have to do with color? Does it have to do with thickness? And again, which direction does it go in? But in any case, he says there is some other test you could do where you can tell by looking at the stain what exactly it's going to be. Again, this is another case where the rabbis didn't exactly deal with laundry like the women did, and they're discussing something that maybe they didn't have firsthand knowledge of. Umutame bein lach v'chule. So now we're back to, right, what did we say? The end of that Mishnah, I kind of alluded to the fact that we get back to this, which is they're umutame either dry or moist. And then Rabbi Shimon said, no, if it's moist, it only goes back X amount of time to the time when it would have been, right, we say basically it couldn't, if it was already dead, let's say we're talking about the sheretz, or if it had come out of the woman's body a long time ago, it would have been, right, dry by now. And it's still moist, so obviously we don't go back that far. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, he's now going to narrow the focus of this statement of Rabbi Shimon. Essentially, they quote here Matame Bein Lach, which is the Tanakama, but they're really referring to Rabbi Shimon here, who has this time limit on something that's moist. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Shanu Ela Sheret. This is really only talking about Shretzim and not blood. Aval Ketem Lach Nami Matame Lemafreya. But a moist ketem is going to go. Okay, now the logic of a moist ketem is that what? If it's still moist, it's the same thing as the sheretz. It couldn't have come from her body so long ago if it's still moist. So why do we say it's only sheretz and not dam? Imar yavesh haya ummaya nafilale. It could have just gotten wet. Water could have dripped on it, and it's wet now. So the fact that it's moist doesn't show anything about when the ketem was from. It just could have gotten water on it. So they say, what do you mean? Sheretz, according to that logic, sheretz nami. Imar yavesh haya ummaya nafilale. You could say the sheretz also got wet. So they say, no, imita dahachihu imartute imarta. If water fell on a dried out sheret, it'll start falling falling apart, disintegrating. So therefore, that's why we distinguish between sheret versus dam. Okay, new Mishnah. Kol haktamim habeim mirekem tehorim. Okay, rekem, first of all, the main reference to rekem, one of the references, is in Gittin. It's very famous, where Gittin, it's all about, you have to, if you come from Chutz Laaretz, if you remember this a long time ago, you have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So Rechem was on the border, the southern border of Israel, and the people there were assumed not to be Jewish, and therefore, If you come from there, you also have to say b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. So any ketem that comes from rekem is tahor. Why is that? Now we're talking about, you have a piece of cloth that has blood on it. Now the whole question is, number one, did the blood come from a woman or not? And then if it came from a woman, would it be tamei or not? And even if it came from her blood, from her nita blood or zava blood, would it be tamei? So now, the assumption is if it came from rekem, it came from non-Jews. Now non-Jews, we already learned that their dam, we assume, is tame, like zava, or machmir, but that's all the gzeirah derabanan, and because tamim in general are only derabanan, the rabbis wearing goes are on the tamim of non-Jews. Therefore, it comes from rekem, we're going to assume it's tahor. Rabbi Yehuda mitame, mipnei shehem gerim vitoim. It's very interesting. He says, no, it's tame, why? Because the people in rekem converted, but to'in, what does that mean, to'in here? To'in usually means they make a mistake. They reverted back to being non-Jews, but halachically, they're still Jews. Right, mistake as far as we're concerned. Right, so they converted and then went back to being non-Jews. So therefore, he says, right, there's a machloket really about who these people are that are living there. Are they gerim that then went back to being non-Jews? So they're not really non-Jews because they're really Jewish, and therefore their tamim should be problematic. Habaim, right, they should be metame, they should be impure. Habaim miben ovdei kochavim teorim, okay, here's a blanket statement, right, any tamim that come from ovdei kochavim or teorim, miben Yisrael and miben akutim, but if it comes from a Jewish community or a kuti community, which are the people that, again, the Assyrians brought us to Galut, the Malchut Yisrael in the time of Sefer Melachim, and then, right, before the Babylonian exile, they exiled the people in Malchut Yisrael, which their base was Shamron, they brought in people from other places. That was their whole theory, displacement. Then the people living there are called the Kutim. They were living in Shamron. They're also called the Shamronim. And then these lions came and started attacking them. And because of that, they wanted to learn the halacha. And they went and they found a Kohen. And he taught them how to keep the law of the land. And they became Gerim. Now, the whole machloket always about them, every time we bring them up. First of all, we know that there's certain things they're makpid on, certain things they're not. That's going to come up. And also, some people treat them as Jews, say they were Gerei Emet, they really converted wholeheartedly, and some people say, no, they're Gerei Arayot, they converted out of fear, and that's not actually considered a conversion, so they're really viewed as non-Jews. So there's a debate about how to treat them. So according to this, it sounds like they're like Yisrael. Rabbi Meir Metameh, V'chachamim Meta'arim. Okay, Rabbi Meir says they're Tameh, Chachamim says they're Tahor. Now this is weird. Didn't we just say that Uvdei Chachamim are Tahorim, but Jews, we assume, it's Nida Blood. Now, we said there's two questions. Number one, is it nida blood or something else? Maybe it's blood from an animal. Maybe it's blood from something else. Maybe from a wound. We have no idea. Number two, if it is nida blood, is it going to be tamit? So with the non-Jews, we had no concern. Because even if it's nida blood, we're not gozer on their tamim. But when it comes to Jews, we're gozer on their tamim. The question is it nida blood or not? So the Mishnah says, they explain according to Chachamim, why are they metamim? So Rabbi Meir says, we just assume it's nida blood and it's a problem. Chachamim say, no, shalonach shadu al kitmehen. Women, we know, because they kept laws of Tumen Tara seriously, we know that they kept their begadim, the had ketamim on them, separate. So if you find a random begad floating around, we can assume that people don't leave it laying around, not the kutim, not the Jews. They're all careful about this. And therefore, because, okay, we're going to re-explain this Mishnah later on, but right now it sounds like, according to Chachamim, everything's tahor because we can assume the blood came from somewhere else. And it's not neither is of a blood. Okay, the first thing they're going to say is kapasik betane. The Mishnah said very blanket statement, any non-Jewish blood is tahor. Afilu mitarmod, even from the tarmudain. Okay, now first of all, Hanukkah, okay, the tarmudain come up in the Hanukkah sugya. It's always nice when we have some overlap here, we're almost at Hanukkah. When it talks about the time you can light candles, it says from the time, right, of Shkia Lachama or Misha Tishka Lachama, which could be Shkia Tseit, Ad Shitechle Regal Minashuk. And then they say, what does it mean? Ad Shitechle Regal Minashuk, till the last people come home. Who the last people to come home? And the Gemara says, Ad Dekalya Rigla De Tarmudai, until the Tarmudaim come home. They were the people who stayed in the Shuk the latest, and there was some nation. Here we see they were a non-Jewish nation. It comes from this Gemara, how they know it was a non-Jewish nation. And they, right, there's different opinions as to what the issue with them. They sold trees, or they collected trees, or the logs, or something having to do with that. Anyway, not for issue, but even from Tarmud. Okay, so it sounds like the Tarmudaim were treated as non-Jews. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zot omeret, mikablim gerim mitarmod. from our Mishnah, we can infer, since it made a blanket statement, this is a very interesting inference, we made a blanket statement, all non-Jews, which seems to include Tarmudaim. From here we can learn that we can accept Gerim from Tarmod, and we don't have to worry that their children are Mamzerim. Now, why would their children be Mamzerim? So some people hold that a Mamzer is a child, right? Normally a Mamzer is a child that's born from a woman who's married to somebody else, and she has a baby with a different person. But some people say that if she marries a non-Jew, the baby's a Mamzer. And obviously were some people who were concerned that the Tarmudaim were suspect that they slept with these Jewish women and their children were Mamzerim. And if we accept Gerim from Tarmod, and he says, this proves that we accept Gerim from Tarmod because they're treated as Ovdei Kochamim across the board. And then what does that have to do with accepting Gerim? Well, if they're Mamzerim, we can't accept their conversion because if they convert, if they're a Mamzer, right, people will end up marrying them. And that will become a problem. Okay? So, since Mamzerim can't marry anybody, but Gerim can marry most people. They can't marry Kohanim, but they can marry other people, so we don't accept them, basically. Okay, so he says, since they make this blanket statement, we can infer that Mekablim Gerim Mitarmot. So now the Gemara says, okay, that was Rabbi Yochanan. Imi, is that really true? Vaha, Rabbi Yochanan, Visavia, the Amrei Travaya, Rabbi Yochanan, and the Savia, I guess an elderly man, that they both said, "E mekablim gerim mitarmod." Idavka says the opposite. You can't accept gerim mitarmod. B'chitei mazoch v'lo sfira. Maybe he's just saying it, but he doesn't agree with it. And it's our Mishnah, zot omeret. Right? When he inferred from our Mishnah, we can infer from the Mishnah, but maybe he says, we infer this from the Mishnah, but I don't hold that way. V'hama Rabbi Yochanan halachat k'stam Mishnah. But doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say the halachas like the stam Mishnah? So therefore, he would have to hold like whatever is inferred from the Mishnah. So what do they answer? Emorai ninu valibet Rabbi Yochanan. There's a machloket emoraim about what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Does he hold halacha k'stam Mishnah or does he not? We always, by the way, we've said this many times about this Rabbi Yochanan k'stam Mishnah. So we brought many questions on it, including a few days ago. Some emoraim think he holds k'stam Mishnah, in which case we'd have to say, right, that one doesn't think that he holds emekablim gerim mitarmod. And the other emoraim think that he says emekablim gerim mitarmod, and we just don't hold like the stam Mishnah. Mibein Yisrael. So now, what's this issue about? From Yisrael, we're going to assume Rabbi Meir says Metame Chachamim Metarim. Rabbanan, Id Yisrael Metare, Dema Metamu. Rabbanan doesn't make any sense because Rabbanan are basically saying if it comes from Ovdei Kochavim Mitzorim, if it comes from Jews or Kutim Mitzorim, so who's are going to be Tame? It sounds like from the Mishnah there must be someone who's Tame. So they have to reread the Mishnah. So they're going to bring two attempts to understand. The first one is going to be rejected. Chisura machasra v'hachi katani. It's missing words, and this is how it should read. Mibein Yisrael tamei. Mibein Yisrael, everyone agrees is tamei. It's not Mibein Yisrael and Mibein Akutim is a machloket. No, we split. Yisrael, it's for sure tamei. Mibein Akutim is a machloket. Rabbi Meir Omer, tikutim tamei, tikutim gerei ametein. The whole thing is, how do we treat the kutim? V'chachamim etarim, tikutim gerei arayotein. Are they like Jews or are they like non-Jews? Do we accept their conversion? Do we not? If we accept their conversion, then they're like Jews and they're Tameh. They're Tamim or Tameim. If not, we're going to treat them as Gerei Arayot and they're not. So then, there's a big problem with this. What did our Mishnah say? Chachamim mitarim ipnei shelo nechshedu al kitmehen. Which sounds like because they don't leave their Tamim laying around. And not, right, Ihachi, shelo nechshedu al kitmehen. Gerei Arayot mebaile. It should have said, Chachamim or mitarim nekutim, because and they're treated like Ovdei Kochavim. So the Mishnah doesn't make sense according to that reading. It's one thing to say it's missing some words, but to then say the words that are there don't make any sense, that already is too far. Elahachi kamra. This is how you should read it. Mibein Yisrael and Mibein Akutim Tmeim. Dekutim Gerei Ametein. In other words, Yisrael and Kutim are the same. They're all Tmeim because we treat them as Gerei Amet. But Hanimtzeim Ba'arei Yisrael Tehorim Shalon Echshadu Al Kitmehen. Batznua Mitzan Elhu. But if you find it, a random one, in other words, if you find it from within among these women, then you know that they're Tmei. But if you find it in a Jewish city, you find some lying around cloth, it's Teorim. Shelo nechshedu al kitmehen batznuim mitzan elhu. In other words, Jews we know are careful about their tamim, and they don't leave them laying around. The women are careful. They put them in a hidden place. But the kutim, remember I said, they're makbid on certain things, not on other things. So if you find it in a kuti city, Rabbi Meir mitameh denechshedu al kitmehen, v'chachamim mitarim shelo nechshedu al kitmehen. Dafka the machloket is about if you find it in a kuti city. Everyone agrees that the Jews are careful about their tamim. But the machloket is, Are the kutim careful about their ketamim or not? Okay, last Mishnah for today, last section. Kolach tamim, this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. Hanimtzim b'chol makom tehorim. If you find a ketam anywhere, we can assume it's tahor. Because again, what do we say? The Yisraelim are careful and the goyim, we don't care about their ketamim. Chutz min hanimtzim b'chadarim u'besvivot beit hatumah. There's two places where. One is in the room where the women, where they live, because that's where they hide them, basically. Or in the Beit HaTumot, this is really fascinating. Apparently they had a room where the women would hang out when they were Tumeot. Okay, it's interesting to think about. It must have been the wealthy people, because we talked other times how they had very small houses. They didn't have extra rooms, really, to have a room. It was all for the women in the days that they were Tumeot. Seems quite interesting.
These were private, not like a public one where all of the women were
around. I don't think so. I think it was private in their houses.
So
here
if you
comes
go to
the
city of David, there's something called the Israelite house, and they noticed it was very different than the Kananim. And one of the theories was there was this room where all the women of the house could stay so that they wouldn't have to be, if they're tumah.
Yeah. So there you have it. So it obviously comes from this Mishnah about the Beit HaTumot. So Beit HaTumot, I'm sure they have other sources, but this is one of them. Beit HaTumot Shel Kutim, now here's an interesting thing about if you want to talk historically, so here's a debate in the Mishnah about what would happen in the Beit HaTumot of the Kutim. Mitam'im ba'ohel. Not only is it an issue we talked about if you find a cloth there, but there's too much oil in that whole room. Why? Mipnei shehin kovrim sham et ha'nifalim. It was known that the kutim buried any dead babies in their Beit HaTumot. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda omer, lo ayu kovrin ela mashlichin. No, no, no. They would just leave the dead babies. This is really unpleasant. The dead babies, they would just leave in the Beit HaTumot. V'chaya gorarto. And then an animal would probably come in, pass through, taken away, which means there's no tumat oil, because you can assume if there was a nephel there, it's now gone. It was taken away by an animal. Nemanim, okay, now we're going to talk about things that we believe kutim about and things that we don't. Nemanim lomar kavarnu shamata nephalim o lo kavarnu. We trust them if they say here is buried a baby and it's tame, or here there's no baby buried and it's not tame. Nemanim lomar, because those things they were careful about, as they agree with our halachas about it. Nemanim lomar ala beima im bikra im lo bikra, totally separate case. Bechor, remember you have to know if it's an animal that's a bechor, it has to go to the Kohen. There's all these halachas. So they can say, oh yeah, this animal already had a bechor, meaning the one born right now is not bechor. Or lo bikra, meaning this one is a bechor. We can trust that. Nemanim al tziyun kvarot, they can say this is a kever here, or there's no kever here. But they're not nemanim in the following things. Ve'ein nemanim lo ala sachot, ve'lo ala praot, ve'lo ala beta pras. Okay, these are things that are sefek tuma that were gozer midirabanan. We'll get to schachot and praot later in the Gemara. Rashi says already here, b'gemara mefarish lehu, b'sefek ninu. Okay, and we'll talk about what this is. All these things are dirabanan. Because they're dirabanan, we have a mesorot about them, but the kutim had different mesorot than we do, and they don't have a mesorot about it. And zeklal, davar shechashudim bo, einem alim alav. If they're suspect, then they're not trusted on it. Okay, what's Beit HaPras? This one I'll explain, because this is more obvious than the other two. Right, Tzachot and Praot have to do somehow, if something's hanging over something that's Tamei, or worried there's something Tamei there, we don't really know for sure. Beit HaPras is a field where either we're concerned there was a dead body, or there were dead bodies, and then it was plowed. And once they plowed it, the assumption is the bones get broken up and come up to the surface. And a bone is metame, even the size of a barley, and therefore there's a chance that if you walk in this field, you might kick it and come in contact with the bone, a bone that's bigger than the size of a barley, even if you didn't notice, and therefore you'll be tame. So it's a derabanan, where goes there, even though you don't actually see it or notice it, but where goes there, if someone who walks through Beit HaPras will become tame. Thank you.